that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Welcome to Love Lighthouse podcast, and the broadcast is for Wednesday, the 14th of September 2022. Welcome to Love Lighthouse. Let me just double check everything. Yep, got my dates correct so far, so good, that's awesome. I'm getting quite ahead of myself here with all the broadcasts, so I'm just double checking all the time. Anyway, right, let's get into this. And I think I'm going to have the Bible for this one, the actual physical Bible, for a change, for part of this at least, or if not the entirety. I get 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And read from about 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then, serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. It is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How be it then, when you... I'm not going to read on anymore. Right, let's just focus on what we've got. Then the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay. Now, it's a funny one because we're listening to someone who is not a Gentile speaking about Gentiles. This is St. Paul speaking to the Galatians about the Gentiles, but he has never been a Gentile. He is a man of Jewish origin and intent, deeply. Never a Gentile. But yet he says, you know, he's speaking up for the Gentiles on behalf of them, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so he's making it really extra clear that the blessings coming upon the Gentiles proves even more how it is not about works, in other words, the Jewish works of the law, because the Gentiles aren't doing any of the Jewish works of the law. They're not understanding or comprehending the Jewish works of the law or Jewish behaviours or traditions. So if the faith is coming upon them by the promise through their faith, it points even more to those who are under the old Jewish law that this is definitely something that is coming through faith. These blessings are because of faith alone and not the works that they are producing. And it makes it really clear through what happens with the Gentiles. And here's Paul, St. Paul, is this apostle to the Gentiles. You know, he's really happy about the fact that they're actually receiving this, because it's proving to him again that it's not by his old way, the way that he thought, and he knows because he had to change, he had to go through all of that to be able to understand the Gentiles and to help them in the first place. Otherwise, he wouldn't be best placed to do so. But he had to come off his high horse, so to speak, in every sense of the word in order to be able to do this. And now here he is speaking about them and being happy about the blessings that will come on them as a result. You know, I've just spoken to someone, I'm not going to name names, I'm not going to say who it is, I'm not even going to give any indication, but I've spoken to someone who was brought up in the Catholic faith, but they're like a Gentile. They're ultimately brought up by rote, not knowing by the heart or the soul, not having any faith. So almost kind of Jewish. That's a lot of the Catholic people in Catholicism can relate to Judaism, because it's not... A lot of them aren't of full faith in the heart and soul, but by rote learning about it, and then, you know, it's almost like, well, you're taught this. Whereas those that are in the Reformation, they just know it, right? That's why they don't, they're like dead set against. It's like, no, I don't need to do that. I know. I'm living by faith. I'm like, my faith is my action. Watch it. And so, it's one of these funny things, but so he's brought up like that, and he just didn't seem to get it, and it's almost like, okay, felt like I had to explain things and just doubly make sure with everything and all the rest of it. Excuse me. But yeah, he just didn't seem to get it. A lot of it he just doesn't seem to get. It's weird. But it's just the way. Anyway, so I had to confirm to him today that he's actually married. Not in the ceremonial way, in the Catholic Church's ceremonial way, but he is married. I had to say, look, because he's, you know, he didn't talk a lot about it, but he talks a lot about what he's doing, where he is, what's happening. And he wasn't too sure about the person that he's with in a so-called partnership. And I was like, are you married? So you're married. And he's like, what gave you that impression? No, a partner. So he was trying to write this the other person off as like a partner. I'm like, well... So I had to ask him a few intrusive questions, and we came to the conclusion that although he wasn't ceremonially, he was. You know what I mean? And now that doesn't mean to say it's valid, but by his actions were stating that he was in terms of what they got up to. Yeah, I think you know what I'm doing about. So again, that's not by the law, it's not a law thing, it's not of the law, right? It's not ceremonial, it's not necessarily valid, but many that are by the law aren't valid anyway. And so a lot of it has to be really through faith. Now the best form of marriage is going to be like Mary and Joseph, like through faith alone. It's a covenant between them and God, it's not between man, papers, things like that. Certificates, all the rest. It's not like that. That's not the best marriage. Mary and Joseph did not marry like that. So it's a high degree of faith. It's the highest form of faith, and it needs a heck of a lot between both individuals, each individual and God, and then each individual together. Now, it didn't seem like he was presenting as that, but he's just presenting as very questioning about them, you know, the pair of them. And there was kind of quite a bit of, I would say what I was detecting is kind of like flirtation towards me. You know, it could be easily like, well, it couldn't be easily like written off, but still doing it. But again, you know, it would be completely by the law if he certainly wasn't doing that as well. But, you know, there is a bit in the scripture that ultimately says, you know, fornication or even to look at someone in that way or lustfully is, you know what I mean, that is already adultery kind of thing. So, of course, whatever they're doing isn't really valid or isn't really right, but as someone who stands in the actual faith of Christ, there's only so far like I can take that. I can only take it as far as to like point out what's right and how what's, you know, acceptable unto God in terms of like treating different people or each other, set that out and then kind of move forward. Obviously I can't get intertwined with that because I'm the sovereign. I'm like God's. There is so much like put upon me in terms of what's expected. There's a law and then there's obviously what's acceptable to God and what's absolutely not, right? So sinning on purpose and doing things like that just isn't, it's not, it's like if you know that's not right, you shouldn't be doing it. So it's not to say that the law, that these different things don't matter. They do. It's just you don't live backwards. Like, you don't stand there not taking a step forward and then questioning, is this step forward the right step? Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to take this step forward because it feel like, do you know what I mean? I better check and see if it's the wrong one. It's like you just know. If that step forward in that way, in that direction, seems wrong to you, it is. It's kind of like that. You've got to kind of go more from that Hebrews point of it should already be in your heart and your soul. So if you're going and you're going in a certain way on purpose, it's going to have consequences. If it's not the right thing to do, you just know it. It's not going to be good. But obviously, if someone's walking through in faith and it perhaps isn't the best way, but they're not doing it intentionally, the faith there saves them. Do you see where I'm coming from? Because it's not done on purpose. So they're walking their way through innocently, then it's not going to cause a problem. It might have some sort of like effect, but it's not going to have, overall, it shouldn't have any major effect on the person that, you know, has done something with, you know, no like malintent or whatever. You know, not like thinking, oh, well. And this isn't really kind of like, you know, right or whatever. Anyway, that's it. that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.